Have you ever met someone in maybe your personal life or your professional life who just really, really liked to be in charge? Someone who liked the sound of their own voice as they were giving orders? Someone who had maybe a special chair that was bigger and better than everyone else's and made sure no one sat there? Perhaps it was a boss at a job for you, or a principal at your school, a teacher perhaps, a professor, maybe a colleague, someone who really liked their authority. The big cheese, the boss man or boss woman. This is the image that comes to my mind as Jesus tells us about the teachers of the law in this passage. Our passage this morning comes from the middle of Mark, and it's the middle of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus is talking to his disciples about the community, about leaders in the community and the lowest of the community, and everything that happens in between the two. And these words of Jesus, they are harsh words. Sometimes I think we like to think of Jesus as this very easygoing, quiet, meek, mystic. And when people think of Jesus like that, I like to point them to this passage. And others like it. I think Jesus was all about love and forgiveness and kindness and goodness. But when he saw things that bothered him, he spoke strongly against them. This is uncompromising Jesus. This is Jesus who has a strong word of rebuke for the teachers of the law. You see, the teachers of the law were the religious establishments. They were the Jewish community elites, the leaders. They were the educated ones who pored over the scriptures. And they knew how things were supposed to run. These were the men who had sway and say in this community. The ones who knew the rules and the guidelines from the Old Testament and were in place to uphold those rules and guidelines. And here, Jesus is rebuking them because they are abusing this position that they've been given. Watch out, he says. These men who wear their ceremonial robes out into the community, though those ceremonial robes are really meant for the synagogue, they are showing off to people their elevated position in the community. These men who pull rank in the marketplace and expect deferential treatment from those around them. These men who make a show of sitting in the front of the synagogue and the front of the banquet, always in front, always with a special place. These vain men who are consumed with their authority and their power. These men who, worst of all, abuse the least of these, the widows. Now, in the culture of the day, the widows were the worst off people in the community. As women, they were not able to work, own property, or even speak in the court of law. And as marriage was seen as primarily for producing children, if a widow was older than childbearing age, there was really little chance of remarriage. It was men who made money, men who supported a household, men who could speak in court, men who could own property even. Women had no rights to any of that in this culture. And so a widow, especially an elderly widow, had no chance of remarriage, and without that, no chance of an income, and really, no hope. So the Old Testament makes many mentions of how important it is that the community take care of widows. The Old Testament talks again and again of the people's responsibility to the widows. They represented a group of people who had literally no bootstraps to pull themselves up with. Mosaic law makes special mention of widows throughout the Old Testament, including places in Genesis and Exodus, and then in Deuteronomy, where in chapter 27 it says this: "Cursed is anyone who withholds justice from the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Those are very strong words. And these are the teachers of the law. They are supposed to know their scriptures. They knew them better than anybody else. That was the whole point of this position. And yet here they are, withholding justice from the widows. They are abusing them. Jesus says they are devouring widows' houses and estates. Now, to be honest, it's actually pretty hard to know exactly what that means, what Jesus was getting at with the devouring of widows' houses or estates. But I think it's pretty safe to say it's not good. This is not a good thing that these teachers of the law are doing. And these are the people who should know better. It would be like taking money from an elderly person who is in a nursing home in Canada. Someone who doesn't make a wage, but has a little savings and a Canadian pension, probably, which is small enough as it is and tough to live off of alone. So imagine a nursing care worker who takes those savings. Now, it's not actually that hard to imagine because it happens all too frequently, unfortunately. I read a story from 2010 where a mother and daughter team who were working at a nursing home took the savings of 18 people in that home up to, they think they took about $340,000 from those people. And that was just in Ottawa, in an Ottawa nursing home. And then I found another story of a woman who was working in a nursing home in Hamilton. In 2013, she was prosecuted for stealing over $5,000 from nursing home people. And then the worst story that I heard is this whole web. In 2013, in New York State, there was a woman, a Canadian woman, who was prosecuted for stealing from the Holocaust Survivors Fund in the name of her mother, who survived the Holocaust. So there was this whole web of thieves who were working internationally within this organization, stealing German reparation payments to Holocaust survivors. Like, talk about the most vulnerable people. These poor people survived the Holocaust only for others to steal their money. These should make us very angry because we recognize this is an abuse of authority and power. It's not hard to see why Jesus has such strong words of rebuke for these teachers of the law. Abusing the weakest in your society is the lowest that you can go. So Jesus goes from talking about these teachers of the law who devour widows' houses into a discussion of this widow who gives everything she has to the temple, 2 coins. Now, often this passage is told, we call it the widow's mite, and this story is told through the perspective of joyful celebration. Look at what an offering. But what if instead we read it in context to what has happened with the teachers of the law? And we don't think of Jesus as celebrating. We think of him as lamenting. We don't get many adverbs in the New Testament, so we don't know if Jesus said joyfully or Jesus said angrily. But what if we read it this way? This poor widow has put more into this treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth. She gave out of her poverty. She put in everything, all she has to live on. Changing the tone changes the meaning here. And I'm not denying that what the widow gave was amazing. I'm no way questioning sermons you have heard in the past about the goodness of this woman's heart. And Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 9 that God does love a cheerful giver. And all of that is true. But so much more is going on in this passage. Jesus is speaking to a broken system. He sees a community where they are not looking after each other. And that causes him to lament, to rebuke. I think his heart is broken in this story. The whole temple system of the Jewish community that was set up to protect the last, the least, and the lonely is hurting the ones it was meant to protect. The system is broken. Jesus speaks against it. Some people are profiting by this system, and others are being abused by it. And this passage that we have this morning, it's part of a larger discourse or conversation with Jesus. And he's talking a lot here in Mark 12 about community and what it means to be community. And right before the verses we read this morning, starting on verse 29, Jesus has a conversation with a different teacher of the law. So Jesus is asked by this teacher of the law, what is the most important commandment? And very famously, Jesus responds, the most important one is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. The teacher of the law, who is in conversation with Jesus, replies and says, well, teacher, you are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him, to love him with your heart and with all your understanding and with your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that this man had answered wisely, he said to him, You are not far off from the kingdom of God. That love, the love of God and neighbor, is more important than offerings and sacrifices. That love is more important than the system. It's more important than our traditions. It's more important than our ceremonies. It's more important than the way you think or I think things should go. It's more important than the songs we choose to sing. It's more important than what you put into the offering plate. It's more important than your status. It's more important than your security. It's more important than your bank account. It's the love of God in and through us, and it gives us a glimpse of the kingdom that is coming, ushered in by Jesus. It's bigger and better than any institution or idea, and that's terrifying. Because we can't codify it, we can't order it, we can't manage it, we can't box it up, we can't sell it, we can't market it. We just have to do it. We just have to love our God and love our neighbor. And it's why we're here at all. It's the love of God that drives us. It's why we come to this building and to this community on Sunday mornings. It's why we participate in the Church Universal. It calls us, this love of God calls us to be Christ's body on earth, his hands and his feet in the world, loving the world as God so loved the world. And that's a huge call. And we, the church, just don't always get it right. Sometimes we get stuck on the building and the order and the way things that are the way things are done and the way we want them to be done, but I think God's call is to his people, and it's to love beyond everything else. The teachers of the law and the widow in our passage this morning display a social contract that has gone terribly wrong. More than just a social contract, the relationship between the leaders of the Jewish community and the community itself is subject to Old Testament law and God's word. So this is more than just a social contract gone wrong. This is the covenant with our God that is broken. Jesus laments this broken covenant and comes showing us a new way. A way not of dominating leadership and institutionalized worship, but of servant leadership. Motivation by love of God and each other. Jesus came not to storm the palaces in Rome, but to usher in a whole new kind of kingdom. An upside-down kingdom where the last shall be first and the first shall be last. A kingdom of grace and mercy. The kingdom of God made in and through us. We are called to be part of that mission. To be part of the community that gets to usher that in. We're called to organize and to meet and to have a way of doing things, absolutely. And we are asked to put our money in the offering plate. But we do these things to proclaim to the world who God is and the kingdom he is ushering in. We remember when we do these things what we're doing them for, who they are for. We are called to keep our eyes always on the kingdom. And we do that best when we are looking at each other. Paul, the great letter writer, said it this way. In Romans chapter 12, he says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants more than our tithes and our offerings. He wants our whole lives. He asks us to love him and our neighbors. And in so doing, we see the kingdom come. We are the church. It's what we do. It's who we are. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Father God, we thank and praise you that out of every nation you have called us, your people, to be your church, to be your hands and feet in this world, to witness to your love and your kingdom coming. Forgive us, Father, when we get tripped up in the trappings, when we forget the goal and the point of all of this. Renew in us a sense of your call and mission. Fill our lives and our hearts with love. And send us out again, Lord, full-hearted, so that we can proclaim your good news to a world that so desperately needs to hear it. We thank and praise you for your goodness to us, your unfailing love, the way you pick us up after every time we stumble. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.